Fred Smartless on the line with us. Fred, it's me and Donald Jones. How are you, buddy? Good to talk to you.
Well, I'm doing okay. I think weather almost interceded. I'm driving up the highway. Should have been 15 minutes ago. It's 50-mile-an-hour winds. Rain's pouring down. Maybe feel like I was back home in Buffalo.
Where are you going? Where are you headed, Fred?
I just went down to the pool guy to pick up some chemicals. I came back.
Okay.
So I came back to my office so I could get a landline because I want to make sure I'm loud and clear that no mistakes what I say, Murph. You know how it goes.
In the past, you've been known to have some salty language on our show. So we.
Well, absolutely. They said, actually, did you ever burn the bridge? I said, I didn't burn it. I nuked it.
Fred, it's good to hear your voice. And we're calling you in relation to this TV show, which airs next Monday on MSG. Top 10 defensive players in franchise history. I have it on good authority that you have a chance to be on that list, Fred. Fred, what do you think of that?
In Bills history?
Bills history, yes, sir.
Well, anytime you've been out for a while and they recognize you for something you did, it's great. You know, sometimes there's guys that were great that don't get recognized because they've been gone too long or they've been too quiet. So any type of honor I get that includes Buffalo, I'm grateful for whatever it is because I – it was just a wonderful time getting in place with you with Haz on the air and rattling cages and all that stuff was great. But on the field stuff with all the guys, Fat Benny, Baby, Shoes, Hotch, Richter, Jonesy, I mean, we just had a phenomenal time with phenomenal people.
Fred, we just had one of the producers of the show on our show, and he was saying how, you know, you played kind of in an era here in Buffalo that's kind of forgotten. Do you ever feel like that when talking about Bills franchise history?
Well, if you go, I get a lot of calls from different people, but just go online and watch. You know, I mean, you watch what I did. I two-gapped, not bragging, but as well as anyone maybe ever. One of the first 300-pound nose tackles. What the little 230-pound guys that were off the ball played guard. Started 157 games in a row without getting injured, and. Then I got injured when I went to San Fran. They traded me for reasons unknown. But anyway, I know why. Chuck Dickinson. Did I say that? So all I have to do is watch the guys I played against, watch what I did. I mean, it's out there in film. I kind of get miffed when a guy like, I don't know, what was his name, but from Seattle went to the Hall of Fame. I'm like,
Cortez Kennedy?
Watch films. My God, please. Anyway, you know what? If the tree falls and no one's there to hear it, plus if people quiet it, it's hard to know that it made a sound.
I just heard you blame Chuck Dickerson for the Bills sending you away for a while. Marv Levy was your boogeyman on that, Fred. What happened?
Eventually, the truth came, and there was Snickers wrappers all over the truth, so we knew it was him. Now, actually, we found out it was him that did that. He was one of the reasons that Ted Cottrell got. Ted Cottrell, the best coach I've ever had. We're very good friends. He said some crap, lied about Ted and lied about me and got us both taken out. And eventually, the truth was found. Me and Marv buried the hatchet without hitting him in the head with it. So that's what it was. And
that's good.
You know, when you think back, you're on your couch eating my baklava. I think back of what would have happened if I was there, you know, what would have happened if Teddy was there and Chuck Dickerson didn't piss off the Washington Redskins. So. He was a cancer cell that they found out and dug it out and brought Ted back, but it was too late for the fat Greek.
Wow. Fred Smartless on the line with his 5-time Pro Bowl performer for the Bills at nose tackle. I want to get back to what you said, Fred, about you were kind of the first of your kind, right, at nose tackle in terms of size and strength, and a lot of people think you almost invented the position of modern nose tackle. Do you believe that?
Well, actually, when I went to the Pro Bowl, one of the Pro Bowls, one of the defensive linemen, I think it was Johnson from the Eagles, were talking. He goes, well, they send me off films. You know, when Golick told me they send me the films. Because back then, they used to have a smaller guy that would be off the ball and read the center. And I was one of the first guys to come up real tight on the center and try and kill him. And, you know, jam him back so they couldn't get any movement on me. And I could move laterally and use my hands. And so that... Everyone started, if you look, I mean, remember watching Billy Acker. Remember Billy the Pig Acker?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it became my backup. I used to watch film. And go, he had number 76, and every single thing I did, he did. I go, you pig. Well, you've copied everything I did. It's just like, it would be similar to Joe DeLamalia. He changed the way a lot of the guards played and how they used their hands, you know. So, and it's Stevenson, the way he played with the ball way out. So it changed, and a lot of guys started playing like that up tight and get your hands on somebody and be able to move laterally, which is very difficult, something you really have to practice. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of people did copy the way I played, and a lot of people, they started putting bigger, stronger, quicker guys on the nose so that 3-4 could run and the linebackers get free. You know, if the linebackers get chopped by the guards, it's my fault, and that's why they want a big nose tackle so the faster, quicker linebackers can run unabated to the tackle.
Hey, Fred, I wonder if there's anybody else on those Bills teams you played with, mostly, you know, late 70s and through the 80s, anybody else you think was just an outstanding player that may be forgotten? I was thinking about, you know, your old running mate there, Haz, who had, what, 6 or 7 years with the Bills. He's gone on to be a successful coach in the league, but he was a defensive rookie, and he did play at a pretty high level in the first couple of years.
You know, didn't get hit much because the Greek guy was there, but I'm going to tell you one guy. You know, I kept him off. There was Keating, who played extremely well.
Yeah.
And the brain cell traded him. That's Hank Bullock, the man that lives with one brain cell. He traded him to Washington for some crazy reason. But here's one guy, and I remember John Hanna stopped the game when this guy got hurt. He said, this is one of the only kids that could buckle him. It was Shane Nelson.
Yeah.
Shane was a beast, and then he tore his knee up and played with it. He was one of the biggest. Lucius Stanford's another guy. There were some great players. You know, now I played with Talley, Madman Telly, and Bennett, and those guys were phenomenal. And Bruce, obviously, the pass rusher. And Art Still was phenomenal. I played with so many great players, but I think Shane Nelson's a guy that really gets unlooked. Look at some of the films. Watch him. You can get him online. He was a stud. Called the defenses out. Stone, offensive lineman. Did it all, baby.
And those Chuck Knox teams that you were on, those were defensive-oriented teams, weren't they? You guys won primarily because of the defense back then, didn't you?
You know what he did, though, Murph? When I was getting drafted, I was supposed to be a top 10 pick, but there was some controversy about I was uncoachable and a little angry, which is kind of true.
Still
so
angry.
Anyway, I'm on the line with Tampa Bay. They're going, Chuck Knox is in there, and Tampa, Buffalo, they're going to draft Greg Roberts. Remember the Outland Trophy winner from Alabama?
Yep.
I beat him with my fingernail. I said, how did that kid be? I don't think he played it. I'm like, God, he must have had someone else's films. But anyway, they said, we're going to draft you. We didn't have a first-round pick. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to Tampa. I'm going to die. All of a sudden, they come back on and go, Buffalo draft you. And they hang the phone up.
Yeah.
And then Chuck Knott gets on the phone. Now, you know, we're callers where they coaches have toot and ties, and they talk real nice. All of a sudden, he gets on the phone and goes, I heard you're a real mean MF-er. I want you to come up here and kick some MF-ing ass. And he's screaming at me. I'm going, yeah, whatever, Chuck, come to it. Don't worry. Okay. And then he brought in, you know, Conrad and Phil. He got Haz. You know, he had all these different players. And then when he went to Seattle, we got Kay Stevenson. It was like, you know, a mannequin smoking. I mean, nothing like Chuck. And he didn't want it. So he brought all us guys in to be Wild Indians, and we were. We played with the band in, you know, Mario Clark and all the great players we had with Simpson and Freeman. I mean, it was Fat Betty and Shoot. I mean, it was great. We had tough guys that could play, and he created that whole thing. And they went from, what, 2-10 because it was 12 games back. No, 2-14, right?
Yeah.
It 2-12 because there were 12 games.
14 games.
Yeah. And they switched to 16 games after. And then when he left, all those pieces were in place to have a wild, crazy team. And Kay Stevenson wanted everyone to have tea together before games. So the dynamic changed. It was a little difficult for a while.
Yeah.
Hey, Fred, so you talked about playing alongside Bruce and Bennett and Talley and all those guys. Aside from Bruce, I think everyone here believes that Bruce Smith is, you know, the number one defensive player in franchise history. And aside from yourself, who would, from the teams that you've played on, who would be number two?
Besides myself, because I'm not, you know, I'm not very shy.
Right, exactly. That's why I laid that out there.
I would say, in one of the craziest, the greatest guys on earth, I think the Whacker would be Tally Whacker.
Daryl,
because he called. And also, let me tell you a side thing. Me and him concocted a way we were going to get Hank Bullock, when he was coaching for Green Bay. I was going to grab his arms. He was going to swing him and kick him and knock him out. But Callie was like, Callie could run. He was unflappable. You know, him and I, if there was something going on, we'd bring the justice, pioneer justice to it. He could play the pass. He was extremely intelligent. You know, Cornelius Bennett was right around there, maybe a tiny bit more athletic than Tally, but Tally was Talley just had it all, you know. And there's a lot of great players, like I said, but I think Talley would be the next one.
Hey, Fred, we're talking about you as one of the top 10 defensive players in history, and I think many people know that maybe your signature play, one play that you're most remembered for, was special teams. Bills, Jets, 88 regular season game. You blocked a late game field goal, and the Bills went on to win that game in overtime and win the AFC East that day. It's a little strange that maybe your biggest player, the one you're most remembered for, was on special teams, isn't it?
Well, you know, if you watch, like I said, film, and you see a nose tackle taking up two guys, three guys every play, and linebackers are running free, you don't really notice the fat, hairy guy in the middle of the field pounding the crap out of three guys. You notice the pretty linebacker making the play. So very seldom do we have a chance to break through and shine. It was he had never missed a kick inside the 40-yard line. What was his name?
Is it Leahy?
Leahy. Yeah. Never missed a kick. So he's inside, I think it's 38-yard line. I said, listen, I said to myself, I pinned the elbow of the center with my left hand and slammed him. I said, I'm going to virtually, whenever movement starts at all, I'm going. So if it's offside, it's just 5 more yards. And I hit it just right, came sliding through, got my bent arm up, and hit it, and there was, I think they gave it to, they said the house did it, but the house was a little far behind me. Right? So it was just a play that it just happened to hit perfectly because they had very good protection, and the whole place went crazy. And then Scott Norwood, of course, kicked the field goal and brought us back to Promise Little. We were back to, you know, AFC East for the first time in a number of years.
Yeah.
So that was just, it was phenomenal. It was great for the fans, great for all the players. We're hugging and kissing. So it was a combination of everybody.
Hey, Fred, we missed you a couple weeks ago. I understand you had a good reason not to come up for Kelly's tournament. You had a graduation in your family, right? Your son graduated?
I was there, bro.
I missed you. Were you there Sunday night?
Oh, I'm down to 290 now. You probably couldn't see me. I was standing sideways.
I thought you had a graduation or something.
My son graduated. So what I did for 32 years, this is the 31st year. I had never missed one of these events, and I rode my motorcycle. So the week before, I rode my motorcycle to Buffalo. I left at the hotel, flew back, and after my son's graduation, the next morning I flew in, and they brought me to the golf tournament.
Oh, so you went Monday. Okay.
I went Monday and then drove my bike home. So my streak is still intact. I love Jim Kelly, one of the greatest guys. Not only that, he is the greatest player in Bills history. I don't even think it's Bruce would be number two, but Kelly's the best. And Kelly, he's a phenomenal guy. He's always been there for everybody else. So whatever I can do to help him, I'm not going to let him down.
I'm sorry I missed you. And congratulations on the graduation.
I missed you too, man. I was going to give you a big hug.
I know. I missed that hug. Your family's well, right?
I had to kiss Petrucci twice because I didn't get to kiss you.
Family's good, right? Chris is good. Everybody's happy and
family's
healthy.
Good. How's your family? Good?
Everybody's great, Fred. We got to get together sometime. I did miss you a couple weeks ago.
I miss you on the show. You're one of the best announcers in the nation.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I don't have to say it, but you are. I've been with a lot of different guys. They don't hold the candles to you, my brother.
Thanks, Fred.
All right.
Stay well. Thank you for being with us here today. Thank you.
See you, guys.
Okay, Fred Smirlus.